Agnes was 94 years old and actively dying. She hadn't had any visitors during her stay, and her only family consisted of a nephew incarcerated in a different state. She had been taken to the ER on Sunday, moved to the ICU on Monday, made a do not resuscitate on Wednesday, and transferred to the palliative care unit where she found me on a sunny Friday morning. Despite possessing a true passion for palliative care, I am still terrified of those final moments just before death. I'd never been with someone when they passed, and I'd especially never done it alone. I took a deep breath and feigned bravery as I strode across the threshold. It's strange being in the room with someone who is dying. You feel like you've broken into their house while they're sleeping, so you tiptoe through vitals, speak in whispers, and quietly administer medications so as not to somehow disturb them. In most cases, there's a daughter or a husband or a friend sitting bedside, but not Agnes. Agnes was alone. Despite being completely comatose, a well-intentioned someone had positioned a still warm meal tray across her lap. Rolling the table out of the way, I began my assessment. While listening to her heart, I worked to quiet my own racing rhythm pounding in my ears. I pulled up the blankets to feel the faint pulses in her feet and smiled upon finding perfectly painted red toenails. I couldn't bear the thought of Agnes dying alone, but I was simultaneously petrified that it would be me at her side when the time came. While the idea of passing off her last moments to another nurse was admittedly attractive, my heart steadfastly rendered this impulse unacceptable. We were crossing paths for a reason, and I was in no position to argue with the universe. I smoothed the blankets down and stepped back. I promised Agnes she wouldn't be dying alone, because she would be dying with me. With my assignment consisting of only Agnes, I had the time to be the nurse I loved to be. I gave her the bath of all baths, changed her linens, tidied her room, and arranged a handful of daisies in a paper cup. I turned her wristband around and read her birthday, 9/14/1921, just a few days shy of my own, but almost 70 years apart. While her life was a total mystery to me, I was confident that she had been stunning. Even in her last moments, her high cheekbones, full lips, and large eyes gave away her timeless beauty. Despite not knowing the first thing about her, I decided that Agnes and I were now friends. Late that afternoon, I got another patient and stepped out to get report at the nurse's station. As I was heading back to Agnes's room, I found the charge nurse pulling the curtain and shaking her head. My heart dropped into my stomach. Agnes had died, and she had died alone. Together, the charge nurse and I prepared Agnes for the morgue. I fastened the tag around her brightly painted toe and zipped up the bag, taking pause at her face. She was serene. In my preoccupation to prevent her from dying alone, I hadn't considered that perhaps Agnes wasn't afraid and that I was the one who needed protecting. The sun had begun to set. Agnes's silhouette was perfectly framed by the muted sunlight. Now that she had passed, the air in the room had shifted. The negative space she left behind was palpable, and I realized I was now the one who was alone. Agnes was my friend, and I was going to miss her.